So today, I want to personalize this one. Welcome all of you here. It's good to see more faces than two or three today. It's a little bit harder up here when there's only two or three. And it's good to see those online, although I can't see them on the screen at the moment because I limited them. Yeah, you can bring them back up if you don't mind. And I'm just in stir mode at the moment. I want to welcome those who are going to be watching by YouTube or listening by podcast. It's a nice sunny day, but this is like day 15 of no rain. So anyway, that's just trivia for the moment. So I do want to say this is week five of Simply Jesus. I've entitled the series Simply Jesus because every time I think we're done with it, Simply Jesus pops up with more. So we're going to go there in a moment, but what did you guys get out of worship today? Anything?
Was that Laura
Daigle? No, I'll have to look it up for you, but it wasn't her. Yes, sir.
The first one was just how much time we spend in our heads in things that are past or things that haven't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
You can't walk through life facing backwards.
You can't
it was
walk
one through. Of the effects
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
I kind of get out of it, just look forward with a positive attitude rather than a negative.
That's good. Look forward with a positive. I'm trying to look up that. I want to look it up now. For those who are listening on a delay, there is a link to today's worship set that you can access, and then you can see where we're coming from. Let's see here. The first song was by Jason Mraz, M-R-A-Z, and it's called Living in the Moment. The second one was a Phanuel, P-H-A-N-U-E-L music song, and so there's really no one artist that's mentioned. The third song was a Red Rocks Worship. I can get that out. I Just Really Love You. And let's see, I don't think it tells me who in that one is the lead singer. It does not tell me that. You probably could find more of it online. But those were all designed today to slow us down because, you know, summer is here and it just seems like the last week and a half of it is go, 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 nonstop. So I just wanted to slow down. I needed to slow down. So, you know. I did it that way. So what else did you guys get out of that? What was the central theme of those songs?
Well, like the first song, he was playing the guitar easy and breezy and gave him peace of mind, peace of heart.
Yeah. Yeah. He found some inner peace in there somewhere, which is good. And that's what Jesus does for us, is he brings inner peace. And the first song doesn't really mention Jesus, but you could just, the whole concept was built around an experience, you could tell. So we've been talking about Jesus, and we've really been hammering out of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And so I would encourage you to turn there a minute, because I'm going to turn the board in a minute, but I just want to recap a couple things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've talked about for a few weeks now, Jesus is the Word of God. These are writings called the Scriptures about Jesus, but in some segments of the Western church, this has become elevated. This book has become elevated as the fourth person of the Trinity. It's not. The Word is God. The Word is Jesus. And as we talked a lot, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, Jesus is the official spokesperson of the Trinity. And if you missed those, May 7th was posted this week. May 14th will be posted this coming week. But Jesus was the point person. As if we were using a modern marketing term, he was the point person. He came with a message. And he came not only with that message to show us who God is, but to show us who we are and how we relate to God and how we're in union and oneness with God. And in our union and oneness with God, things happen. But all of these things we put up here come out of John 1, 1 through 18. So not only is he the Word, he was in the beginning, which means what? He pre-exists us, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's there in the beginning, that means we are created with him. And we looked at Hebrews chapter 1. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, let me just flip there. Let's go real quick. Hebrews chapter 1. Who's got Hebrews 1? Because I'm having trouble finding it.
I didn't read
it. Read 1, 1 through 3.
Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Mm-hmm. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word.
Yeah.
After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
So he created all things. So in the beginning, he was there and he was the creator of all things. What's that say about you, that he created you?
Oh, we're his.
We're his? Say this with me. I'm special.
I'm special.
Because Jesus created me.
Jesus created me.
Yeah. So he made all things. And he is life. If you go on in John, it says that and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. What do we know about light in the natural?
Light.
Light.
It dispels darkness.
It dispels darkness. We know from science, light has waves. It's always moving. And then we're going to talk next week about what that means in a little bit more depth. But he's the light and life to all people. When you were created, you were created with a light source inside of you that through the centuries after the fall sort of got covered over, diminished. Not the intensity of it, but the ability of it to shine outward. That's one of the reasons Jesus came, and it's one of the reasons he went to the cross was to tear the veil of darkness so that light could shine from the inside out with greater radiance. Because Linda read it, he's the radiance of all things. So light radiates. And if light is in you, what do?
Radiate.
You radiate. I just see some wheels like, uh-oh. Where is he going with this?
I'm thinking going back to the garden. That when they Adam and Eve made clothing, God made clothing, all fit, was covering up that light.
Yes. Yeah. And here's the beauty. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So the veil, the clothing, did not overcome the light within you. It actually just gave you some peace of mind for that moment. But it's a fake peace. It's a false peace, because the only true peace comes with understanding who we are in relationship to him. And then it jumped down to verse 9 here. The true light which enlightens everyone has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then it goes on to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in verse 16, and from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So if in the beginning was the Word, and the Word spoke and created all things, which it did, right? So we know from Genesis 1, as the Word created all things, there comes a point in time when you were created. You were already in his mind, but there comes a point in time when you're physically created. Guess what was inside you at the moment of conception? And they've proven this scientifically. What happens at the moment of conception? Light emerges. In the act of conception, there's an emanation of light.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Makes you want to tilt a little bit, huh? Mm-hmm. Or in my case, it makes me want to be happy. So light, the moment of creation, you're infused with light. And it's and you start giving it off at the moment of creation. I just find that fascinating. And, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago that he's the life of all humanity. He shines in the darkness. Everyone has a measure of light. And light is a witness to all humanity. He is a witness to all humanity. And you, because there's light inside of you, the God place inside of you, that light comes out and it comes from the inside out. Through the act of grace and kindness, we change because of it. If anyone says that they today that they are the same person they were 15 years ago after spending time immersed in grace, we need to have a private conversation. Okay? And so we talked about, so that really the issue is a perception problem. Humanity has a perception problem. And we're going to explore a little bit more of that today. And Jesus, we talked about last week, these are the notes from last week, We are union and oneness, Jesus, us. And like we talked about, for those of you who weren't here, I'll just briefly recap. When you make sweet tea, you take the water and the sugar and you boil it. They become, the sugar infuses the water. You put the tea infuses the sugar and the water, and you cannot separate it back out after that. Once it's fused and infused together, the thing about sweet tea is you can't, it'll sit there forever and it will not separate back into sugar, water, and tea. It's always fused together. And that's what happens in our union and oneness with Christ. We're infused together. I don't know inside of me where Jesus starts and I stop, and I stop and Jesus starts, because I'm so infused with him that we are one in as Paul said, we're one. Paul talks a lot about that in his teachings. He doesn't know, you know, exactly where things are, other than he knows where they're one. And so we had that last week. We talked about it, and then Carol brought up, I think it was Carol, that part of our role is my acceptance of his acceptance of me. When I accept his acceptance of me, that's coming into further union and oneness. Mm-hmm. Most of the time when we're living in the darkness of our mind, the recesses of our mind, we're fighting that union and oneness, and we're putting up a lot of energy, and then we wonder why we're exhausted, or we're in performance mode and trying to please him with performance, and we wonder why we're exhausted. And so when I accept his acceptance of me, I can just go. And then a song like that first song today, I can just be in the now, because I know I'm accepted. I know I'm in union and oneness. And, you know, acceptance, good news. He's preached and taught unity, identity, healed, and free from physical infirmity, healed, free from released spiritual vision. Power over nature. I mean, those are all things that we see in the Gospels that we talked about a little bit last week about Jesus, and we're going to talk a little bit about that again today. So let me find some of my notes. I got a lot of notes up here. So I'm going to flip the board a minute. So we know from First John chapter 4, that God is love, right?
Yeah.
And there is nothing that God does that doesn't emanate out of love. So Jesus, being part of the Trinity, the Godhead, he is love. And he came in part to two things: demonstrate Trinity's heart, i.e. love, and to demonstrate who we are. So, everything Jesus did while he walked the earth was done out of love and compassion and mercy. Compassion and mercy being forms of love. So every time he interacted with someone, he did it out of love, compassion, and mercy. Even the Pharisees, when he got a little snarky with them, because he used snarkisms to break through their darkness. I hope that's a word. I just created it. When he's walking around as the Trinity, demonstrating the heart of the Trinity and demonstrating who we are, Jesus is God and man. And to this day, Jesus remains God and man. When he ascended into heaven, he ascended as the man, but also as God. So let me ask you a question. As God and as man, what was his motivation?
Love.
Love. And everything he did as God and as man, I think mostly as man though, he did miraculous things. One of the things that is troublesome today is that we relegate everything that was done miraculously to Jesus, God, and not Jesus, man. But here's some dilemmas we have. Jesus, man, sent the 12 out to do what? He sent the 12 out. Heal the sick.
Raise the dead.
Cleanse the lepers. Why would he send 12 men out to do that?
Good at delegating.
Which means they have the capacity to do it then.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love that word, delegation. That's a good word. And later he sends out, people say, well, that was just the disciples. Mm-hmm. Paul was not among that group at that time. Let's just be clear. But then he sends out the 72 and tells them to do the same thing. Why? He's good at delegating. And in that delegation, he's showing them they have the capacity to do it. And so what kind of things did he do? Everybody go like this. Shake the dust off.
What do you mean?
What kind of things did he do that were miraculous in nature?
Oh.
Raise the dead.
Healing.
Multiplication
of the loaves and fishes.
Water to wine.
Deliverance.
One of my favorites. He walked on water. There was a vast array of things that he did. And when he died, it didn't stop with him, because the book of Acts is about them carrying on those things in part. But we developed a cultural mentality in the Western church of what's called cessationism, when he stopped doing those things when John the Apostle died. Problem. go to John. Let me find it here. Looking, I think it's in verse or chapter 20, but let me check. It might be 21. Oh, John 14. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father.
That sounds like a delegation verse, doesn't it, Linda? Mm-hmm. So everything he did, he's saying, you will do. But then the church came along and put a cloud or a shroud over that. I grew up in a church that didn't believe in gifts, didn't believe in healing, didn't believe in miracles. What does that do to my psyche then when I feel, when I see a situation that needs to be miraculously touched? If my psyche is, it doesn't happen, I'm not gonna believe that it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So the church collectively created a mindset against this, against the power in of God. So when Jesus said, you know, that he's given us the power, look in Hebrews 1:3, when he has the power, he also delegates that power. And that word power is dunamis, strength, power, ability, inherent power. Inherent meaning within, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth, power for performing miracles, moral power, and excellence of the soul, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, hosts. It has a broad meaning, part of which is when two or more are gathered in his name, what happens? All things are possible at that point, right? When two or more are gathered in his name, all things are possible. And and we're entering into a season where it's time to get out of the off the couch or out of the easy chair and come together in power. Linda.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily two or more. I think it's one. Because in my mind, it all goes back to separation. Mm-hmm. When we're told that we are separated, you cannot then identify with the oneness that you are with him and in him and he in you. Mm-hmm. So if we can get rid of the lie of the separation,
bingo,
then in our minds, we can embrace the oneness that we are, and then we can go forth boldly in that and not afraid of what others might think or do, because we have the confidence in who we are in him.
And I agree with that. There's a power in our within us and our oneness, and we embrace it, we get rid of separation, we can do a lot of things. But there's also an amplification point that comes with many coming together in one.
Right.
Ephesians 4 talks about reaching the maturity in the union, in union, you know. So eventually prophecy and all of those gifts in Ephesians 4 are supposed to leave as we come to a place of maturity. But maturity means we also come in a place of concerted action at times. You know, Linda can walk into the grocery store and bam, God says, go touch this person and heal them. It's a done deal, right? But we were told we couldn't do it. That separation, that cloud of separation, that darkness. Well, you can't do that. And if you tried to do that, you got kicked out of some churches. You know, or you got attacked as a heretic online. What happens then is because we hadn't quite come to a settledness with our understanding of our union and our oneness, we would back up. And we would, you know, we'd get criticized and we would back up and stop doing the things that he called us to do. Now, so that, you know, and I feel like we're at that place in our togetherness as a people group here, that we've really come to the place of settled on our union and oneness. We know that separation is no longer an issue for us. And because of that, now he's saying, let's get on with some things that I put inside of you to do. And I'm not sure how that looks yet, other than I know eventually it will be revealed. But we have to come to the place of, okay, I'm ready with that. I'm ready.
I'm ready for that. Even if I have some nagging issues of my own, I'm still ready for that. Ooh, that was a little bit different direction than I planned to go. But see, this love, and I've been pondering love a lot lately because there's an event coming up. Love is a power. It's the biggest, the greatest power in the universe. And within that love is light and life and understanding and wisdom
and peace
and peace, righteousness, joy, and peace inside the kingdom, even. I mean, there's such depth here that we haven't fully mined yet. And we'll spend the rest of our lives mining that and beyond. But we can always go deeper. How do I go deeper? Holy Spirit, I want to know more. I mean, as I ponder love in terms of how I want to share that with, I mean, I really am pondering this. And it's stirring me. It's stirring me. And even things like Psychology Today, that great, great, great. No, I won't go there. They're not.
Just kidding.
Says love is critical for your mind and body just as oxygen is. It's as critical as oxygen. We were not designed to live in denial of love or without love.
Well, look at babies. They've proven if they don't get the attention and the love and the touch, and that they just wither and die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or they suffer detachment disorder. Like there were studies coming out of the kids that in Russia that were in orphanages, and they were just mercilessly abused in orphanages. They get adopted by people in the U.S., and they have attachment disorder, and the parents go, why don't you love me? They don't know how to love because of it detaches. Go to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, and love, and self-control. Some versions say, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. So, we know love overcomes the spirit of fear, right?
Yes.
A sense of fear that if we can allow ourselves to experience the unconditional love of God, the fears that we grew up with and developed over the years start to fade away. We also know that word power there is the same power dunamis. So he's given us power. So we need to stop saying, who, me? What, me? What was Alfred E. Lewin's?
What, me worry?
What, me worry? We don't worry. We have power. And I still trying to sort some of that out because I've had circumstances in my life where I didn't feel like I had the ability to influence it. But some of that is just that old training. Mm-hmm. That old tape. You know, I there are days when I wish the Holy Spirit would just smash the tape recorder in my head and be done with it. Can't play the old tapes because the recorder's broke. But sometimes they pop up. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians. Go to chapter 3, verse 14. And he talks about, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's this power in love to bind us together in harmony. Brings back that old Papa sings bass, Mama sings tenor. Me and the little one join right in. Harmony. God, I'm just in a weird mood today. So, and there are times when you're just sitting quietly and meditating on his love, and you sense, at least I have, my being start to vibrate. Well, what is that? It's the power of love. It's the frequency that God has of love that's inside all of us. And when he tweaks that string, it's like you feel it. You know, and so love casts out fear. It binds us together. We have this power to walk out in love, to be influencers. And out of understanding of that, you know, well, you know, the phrase, no weapons formed against us can prosper, those things all start to make more sense when you realize they're love-based, they're power-based. You are much more powerful, you are much more dynamic than you understand. How is it that a certain prophet we all know can go to the hospital and prophesy to half the staff while he's experiencing an event, right? How is it? Because he knows that that's in him and it has to come out. And it's really cool to watch when he's doing that. So before I go further, what are you guys hearing at the moment? Talk to me. Tell me what you're getting out of this so far.
Well, I missed the last 3 minutes, so.
That's okay. You can miss the last 3 minutes and still pass the class. What are you guys hearing about yourselves in relationship to God?
That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Yeah. And then we owe it to ourselves to step out in love.
Yeah.
We owe it to each other to step out in love. Why?
Because that's what we're delegated to do.
That's what we're delegated to do. And love is, agape love is always doing what? Moving outward.
Mm-hmm.
Moving outward. Oh, there's Greg. We're going to get Greg today. There's Marilyn, and she gets another dose today. See, we can share interaction and actually help someone tap into that pool of love that's inside of them that they can't seem to reach at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Or help them create the gusher that's inside of them. We talked a couple weeks ago, this love is like an artesian well. It never ends. It never stops flowing. It's constant. It's constant. And it's always cool and refreshing. That's the nature of an artesian well. They're cool and refreshing. How many of you have ever drank out of an artesian? Cool and refreshing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting at verse 9. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. So in other words, the old ways don't really have glory because it's the Jesus that's the glory, and that's the glory in us. And indeed, in this case, yeah, I just said, if what was being brought to an end came with glory, how much more will what is permanent have glory?
What verse you reading?
That was verse 11. That's chapter 2, or 2 Corinthians 2. Hang on, I wanted one, didn't I?
Verse.
Oh, hang on. It's one of those days. My mind is in a thousand places. Chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3, sorry, 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So our foundation is Christ. We're called upon to help others shore up their foundation. Aren't we called co-laborers? We are called co-laborers. And so as co-laborers, we have the privilege
and the capacity to share the energy, the love, the energy that flows from it, the light and the life that's talked about in 1 John 8, we have the capacity to share that because he's put it in us to share it. And he doesn't ask us to go share alone. He goes with us, right? Mm-hmm. And if the Trinity is powered by the Holy Spirit, in a sense, where's the power going to come up from then? The Holy Spirit's going to just energize us. Did you have your hand up?
Yeah. On the surface, this sounds all mushy-gushy, lovey-dovey, and easy-peasy. But I think there's a point sometimes where if it doesn't, that we have to make a conscious effort to be in tune with that. And even if we don't feel it, to recognize what it is and to try and overcome that, to show that love, even though it's not in our wheelhouse at that moment.
Sure.
That makes sense?
It does. It is a conscious effort. No question. Because if we default to subconscious, the subconscious is where the place that darkness rules for
yes.
the longest time.
Okay,
so we have to stay in conscious. Now we can reform our subconscious, we can renew our mind and change it. But it's not about lovey-dovey, because just ask the apostles what they experienced. Paul was stoned multiple times, thrown in jail, thrown in chains. Peter was thrown in jail. So there are things that we experience as a result of sometimes of stepping out. But I can't find one place where Peter, Paul, John, after experiencing the negative things they experienced, step back and said, I'm done. When we know how loved we are, we want to move outward. We want to move outward. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it starts with an understanding. With an understanding, we can step out, even if that means talking to one neighbor in our neighborhood and sharing with them. Because the scripture is all about, you know, Paul talked about a lot about the kingdom is demonstrated in power. Kingdom is demonstrated in power. Well, that's law. Mike.
It's contagious. Would you agree?
I would.
And an act of love could be a kind word.
Yes.
A kind deed.
Yes.
Just reaching out. Because other people will react to that.
Yes.
And they will reciprocate. And that really makes the world go round.
Yes.
But it doesn't always happen that way.
No. Nope.
Right.
Doesn't always. And we have to be okay with that. You know, we have to be okay. You know, the scripture talks about Jesus when he healed, there was a leper. I think it's in Matthew 12, 8, somewhere in there. He healed a leper. But, you know, the leper came to him and said, basically, Master, if you would you heal me? And Jesus, before Jesus did anything, he touched him. The power of a touch to a leper who'd been ostracized in a community for years broke the barrier. Kind word, a touch, kind act, you know, mowing the neighbor's lawn, things like that. I mean, that opens the door, but sometimes they don't want you to walk through that door. They're comfortable in their darkness. But you plant a seed every time you show an act of kindness. We don't know when it's going to come back, but it happens. So, see, I've got something I want to share out of this a minute. Must be getting close to being done because I just got to go, so I'm hungry. You know, a lot of this takes place in the unseen realm, right? A lot of it takes place in the unseen realm. And the best, and here's what Steve McVeigh says, the best way to describe the unseen world is to say that it's a world of pure energy that fills everything. That's a true statement. It is. And there's nothing outside of this field or this realm. Everything lives and moves and exists inside of it. And it's called by various names depending on the orientation of the one studying it. Some call it dark energy. Quantum physicists call it the field or the matrix. Deists and theists call it the divine matrix or God. Others call it source, universe, collective consciousness, or spirit. And for centuries, six centuries, the Greeks before Jesus came called it the ether. Ever heard of the ether when you were in school? I did. Yeah. And they referred to it as the air of gods, and Jesus called it the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul, who wrote more than half of the New Testament, called it in Christ. And so, you know, one of the things is don't be put off by differing languages, differing terminology, because we know it's Christ. We know it's the kingdom. And whatever name is used, this energy has been demonstrated to be an all-pervasive life vital force that flows through the universe. So this love, this energy, this power that comes out of the Christ and forms in the unseen realm of the kingdom is vital to all of us. So we have to stop denying it exists. It exists. I may not understand it, but it exists. And once we realize it exists, then we can begin to look at how does it apply in my life? You know, and part of the reason we struggle, and I think next week I am going to get to, I've been 5 weeks wanting to get to, but simply Jesus has intervened. We're going to get to the influence of Plato on our thoughts in the church and how Plato has kept us locked outside of the unseen realm. It's kept us locked in the materialistic world. And it's time to break that pattern. I'm gonna teach you how Plato messed with our heads and messed with the church. Because up until our friend Augustine came onto the picture, the church was not influenced by Plato. At least not seriously. But Augustine brought these Platonic thought patterns, one of which is your body is an impediment to the fullness of life. But didn't Jesus save us body, soul, and spirit, according to Paul? So if Jesus saved his body, soul, and spirit, how can my body be bad? Because that's what Plato taught. He taught your body was bad. It was an impediment. I think that's countercultural or counter kingdom because I'm an integrated person. I can't get very far in the world without my 2 feet taking me somewhere. I can't all but
fail me now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit easier now with Zoom and things, but I still got to be able to get out of the bed and get to the chair for Zoom. All right. What are you guys hearing right now? I think I covered what I wanted to cover because I wanted to set up next week. There is this power source. It's called love. It's the greatest power in the universe. It impacts all things. I'm a carrier of it. I'm an instrument of it. I share it with others. They may or may not respond at that moment, but I'm still called upon to share it. Dadgummit, that's what I'm going to do. And some of you might say to me, get out of my face. I don't want to hear it right now. That's okay. Because you don't define who I am. All right. What are you guys hearing? Let's start online. Muriel or Sharon or Carol. You have to unmute because you're all muted. So nobody wants to talk to me. I'm glad you don't define me. I'm not feeling rejected. Let me turn to the room. What's going on in the room?
Well, along with your thought of Plato saying, you know, the body is bad, then how come Jesus says it's the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Good point.
Not pick a bad place to reside.
Good point. Excellent point. I like that.
You get a gold star.
Ding, 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 ding. Gold star from Greg. The body is the temple, so why would God pick a faulty mechanism to be the temple? You guys are just too quiet. You guys are just way too quiet. Come on, wake up. Give me some feedback. You can throw you can even throw rotten tomatoes, and I'll be right with that. So part of this today is to get you to begin to have some focused intention. You're much more powerful than you think. Much more powerful than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Much more powerful than you've experienced to this point. Yes, sir.
So when you're meditating, I watched a program this morning talking about all of the things that we have going on in our lives that are chaos and the destruction, things around us that are totally occupying our mind. And the person mentioned that's not the greatest issue. The greatest issue is one of the greatest battle for our divinity that we've ever been in. Subject of divinity, meaning not religiously related, but the abilities that we have inherent within us, my mind, and what Christ gave us, that we do not exercise, we do not know. And if we lose that
mm-hmm.
to AI and all these other things that they're talking about, then we've lost everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it can't be taken from us was the point. It can never be taken from us. We have to surrender that.
Give it away.
Yeah.
See, Philippians 3:20 says we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is in, it's out there, but we don't necessarily see all of it. Scientists say we see 4% of the reality of the invisible realm. We should be walking in more than 4%. But I have to start somewhere. It's not condemnation to say I'm not walking in more than 4%. It's the recognition of, wait a minute, I haven't been taught. I haven't been led to that realm. And by golly, we're going there. We're going there. I want to see this place conform to that posting on the wall that this is a healing center, a place of healing that you enter at your own risk. I want to see you as ambassadors of the King walking out going, hey, you, be whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do that. We can do that. Paul didn't waste a lot of time. Peter didn't waste a lot of time speaking theology. Peter said to the blind man at the gate, silver and gold I do not have, but pick up your mat and walk, because that's what I do have. I give you what I have. Pick up your mat and walk. He didn't spend a lot of time debating with it, but he believed it and he tapped it. And I don't think Peter's any different than we are. We just haven't gotten to the place where we go, I'm tapping that. I'm tapping that keg. I'm taking a good drink. Shoot. So that's pretty much all I want to say for today. Next week, we're going to talk about Augustine and Plato and some of those things that have influenced our thought patterns, our belief systems, you know, that I think have inhibited us from not only exercising the power we have, but also prohibiting us, in a sense, from coming together in unity. We know that when two or more are gathered in his name, there's a lot that can happen. And Linda's right. There's a lot that can happen individually, but there's somehow this magnification exponentially when we come together. And that's where I want to go in the near future, is coming together in a way that takes it deeper. All right, any thoughts, any questions before I say sayonara for today? Oh, I just get a lot of looks that are like, okay, where's he going? What's he up to? Well, you'll find out. Stick around for the journey. Even the bishop's got a perplexed look on his face today.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Father, we thank you for today. We know that your love is the greatest power and source in the universe for energy and life. And my prayer is that we awaken even more tomorrow and the day after to the depth of that love, and that we begin to be inspired by that love to live the authentic life you've created us to live. which includes sharing it with others in natural ways, not forced ways, but in natural ways. And so I bless each one here. I bless each one online. I bless each one who's watching on YouTube or listening on a podcast. You all are awesome. You all are valuable. And, you know, God says there's none like you because I only wanted you. I didn't clone you because I just wanted you. And so we just rest in that and we just go to the place of peace in Jesus' name. Amen.